is TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs on TSN 2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, and subscribe and check us out on iTunes. Hockey Insider is brought to you by Financer. Hockey Insider in studio. I wasn't expecting this. Good to see you, Bob.
It's Tuesday, man. I'm always here.
Insider trading.
Insider trading.
What's cooking
now,
today?
Now, Thursday, I might not be here.
All right. It's your call, man. Whatever you got, Bob.
That might be a tie line night.
Okay. What's the big word on insider trading?
We're talking about the Russian thing. We're talking about Seattle. It's cooking in the hockey world right now, internationally, and with the National Hockey League, franchise matters and potential expansion for sure.
All right, well, let's talk about Russia first.
Okay.
Yeah. And whether or not the NHL had a read on this coming. Do you think there's
I think they obviously do, but there's part of them, I'm sure, that is don't know, don't care. Not our problem.
We're not going anyway.
If they had been going, it would have been a really dicey situation.
That's what I'm saying. What if they were like, forget it?
If everything was copacetic between the NHL and the IOC, and they were going, and then suddenly Ovechkin, Malkin, and all these, you know, it just would have made for interesting, difficult things. Because, you know, if you're going to blue sky it, you know, the Russians might get direction from their federation or their fearless leader or whomever. Yeah, we're not going. We're shutting this down. And then the Russian players would say, this is unacceptable to us, so we're not going to go. I think the NHL in that case would say, well, then that's your decision. You're entitled to go. But, I mean, it's all hypothetical because the NHL is not involved. So, but it's the real part of it is it's a mess, but nothing to do with the NHL.
Well, and if you're not familiar, the IOC banned Russian athletes or Russia from performing at the Olympics in 2018. Russian athletes that are clean can still go, but they'll be representing themselves, basically.
OAR.
Like OAR.
Olympic athlete from Russia.
Right. So they won't have the flag.
No flag. So right now, basically, everybody, and I mean everybody, from the IIHF to Hockey Canada to USA Hockey to all the federations around the world to the IOC to everybody. Everybody's in a holding pattern. And there's only one question that has to be answered. What are the Russians going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the definition of a Russian? Is it Putin? Is it their Putin and the Duma, their parliament? Is it their Olympic Association? Is it the Russian Ice Hockey Federation? Is it the KHL? Or is it individual Russian hockey players? We have no roadmap to figure out what each person at each level is going to respond, how they're going to respond to this. And until we do, nobody knows anything.
Isn't the NHL, don't the NHL have to be a little bit concerned that maybe their own players were caught up in this and they just didn't catch it? Like, doping is illegal in the NHL, and this scandal is so deep. Like, if every other athlete in Russia was infiltrated
say they weren't in the lab with everybody
that's
else?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, true enough. Right. We don't have answers to that question either. But a lot of athletes, after the fact, have been exposed. And to our knowledge, the hockey players have not been one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not naive. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, hockey's a clean sport. Because it's obviously not, but it seems like when for the most part, and there's been steroid use in the NHL, there's mm-hmm. been steroid use internationally, but a lot of the time it seems to be there's some nebulous ones, than you know the Nick Backstrom one in Sweden,
like Sudafed or something,
you know, right? That's just a banned substance where he takes
which is different than systemic doping and what have you. So we don't know what, if any blame should be affixed to Russian hockey players, but the fact that they haven't been part of this enormous scandal that has been rooted out in just about all the sports, I don't know.
Well, and with that being the case, would that lead you to believe that the IIHF isn't going to dig in any deeper, so the World Hockey Championship?
Well, everybody's got their program in place. The NHL's got their program in place. The IIHF has their program in place. The IOC has their program in place. You know, obviously what happened with the IOC, for something to happen on that scale, so massive and systemically involving the Russians based on the reports the IOC's provided, it does give you pause to wonder, you know, what more could anybody do? But For now, in the short term, you know, the NHL is doing its thing and they're satisfied with it, and the IIHF is doing their thing, and for now, they're satisfied with it.
Bob McKenzie in studio. All right, so Seattle, Tim Leiwicki, man, he makes things happen, doesn't he? He did a great job in Toronto. I think he gets maybe not a bad rap.
He brought Brendan Shanahan in.
Brought him aside. He brought the NBA All-Star game in. He got them an outdoor game.
He's a mover and a shaker. There's
absolutely.
No question.
Absolutely. So, I mean, what's the deal here? They have to know the NHL wants to come to Seattle.
Yes.
Don't they?
Again, we can't sit here and say it's official the NHL is going to Seattle.
But who, Bill? We were
but
talking
the
before,
the NHL
Bobby.
Is going to Seattle.
Right. It's
who's going to build that rink without knowing?
Well, but even aside from that, I don't believe that they've necessarily been absolutely guaranteed that if they build the arena, the NHL will go there, because there's too many variables. But all that said, here's what I know. I know 4 years ago when the NHL was sizing up expansion markets, the market, not the ownership, not the arena, the market. Seattle was number one. Vegas was number two. Quebec City was a distant third. Not long after, when I say 4 years ago, it was right around this time, in fact, December of 4 years ago, probably within the next 6 months, things started to go south in Seattle vis-a-vis the various arena. There were conflicting ownership groups. There were conflicting arena ideas. There were different alliances, and nothing was lining up for it to go the way that the NHL would have liked it to go to put a team in Seattle. So Seattle got shuffled basically to the bottom of the deck, and Vegas jumped up. And then Foley comes along, the arena comes along in Vegas, and it's like boom, 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 lickety-split. 31 teams were in Vegas. We'll worry about the other stuff later. But now it's later. And the market that they really want to be in, Seattle, now has a group called the Oakview Group, who are going to get this key arena renovation done. They got the approval from the city council last night, and that was the missing piece of the puzzle, because there's already an ownership group, or the nucleus of an ownership group in place. David Bonderman, a multi-billionaire, and Jerry Bruckheimer, the Hollywood producer, who is a huge hockey fan and has been part of the NHL hockey culture for quite some time. So when you start, there's three boxes to tick for expansion. Number one, is it a market the NHL wants to go to? Yes. Number two, do they have a suitable arena ready to go? They will in 2020. So check off number two. Do they have an ownership group that is NHL friendly, who we approve of, who have really deep pockets and an affinity and understanding of who we are and how we do business? And boom, three for three. So this thing's going to untrack fairly fast, unspool fairly fast, I think. But you've got to hold back, because we're not reporting that it's a done deal, because it's not a done deal. There's going to be an executive committee meeting on Thursday. There's going to be a board of governors meeting on Thursday afternoon, Friday. And this is going to be, it's not officially on the agenda, but don't kid yourself. This is a primary area of interest for the National Hockey League. And there is a chance. They will not announce this week that Seattle's getting a team. They will not announce that Seattle's being conditionally granted a team. But they may announce any number of other things that would include, but not limited to, acknowledging there's huge interest from a Seattle ownership group that might have even sent us a check. We don't know that, but you want a team in the NHL, if you're ownership, you come up and say, here's a check, it's all yours.
Right.
Down payment, we're ready to go.
Yep.
Let us know. So they may acknowledge they've gotten that type of interest from the ownership group. They may simply acknowledge and say, you know what, we're ready to go to 32 teams. Haven't decided anything yet, but we're open for business for a 32nd team. Or they may even go an extra step and say, we're now accepting formal bids for the 32nd franchise in the National Hockey League.
Which was a money grab last time, right? I mean, you had to pay like $10 million even to apply.
Right. And
if you don't get it, do you get it back?
No.
Come on.
That was what it was. Or they may simply say, you know what? We've requested permission. We've been requested to give approval to this potential group in Seattle to do test marketing, to do season ticket drives, to investigate the possibility. Any one of those things could happen, all four of those things could happen, or none of them could happen this week. But I wouldn't be surprised if something happens this week. Now, I should point out a couple of other things. The building won't be ready until 2020, the fall of 2020. there's no chance Seattle gets a team before that. There's not playing a temporary facility. We'll bring them in a year or two early. My understanding is 2020 is the earliest the building could be ready. That would be the earliest. And if the building got delayed for some reason, it might ostensibly delay expansion to Seattle if that's going to happen. The other thing, and this is noteworthy, is that the expansion fee is believed to be between $600 and $700 million. So 20 to 40% higher than what Las Vegas paid to get into the league. That doesn't bode well for Quebec City expansion front, because especially with the Canadian dollar being what it is, yeah. 500 was a stiff thing for Quebec City to swallow. $600 to $700 million is going to be even stiffer. And that's all I got.
Based on your knowledge, do you have any reason to believe at any of these meetings, whether there's two people in the room, 30, 50, any of them stood up and said, maybe we shouldn't do this because then our product is going to be very watered down?
No. I don't think so. And I wouldn't agree with that either. I don't think the product is watered down. I think it's spread out. It's actually made the league even more competitive than it has been in the past. I never saw Vegas coming. And what they did was they said, we're going to have a set of expansion draft rules here for Vegas that make this team instantly competitive. And I'm like, yeah,
no way.
Right. And here they are. They're instantly competitive. And I don't even think they tried to be instantly competitive. It just happened. And I can guarantee you that if there is a Seattle group coming into the league as the 32nd franchise, and they're paying $100 to $200 million more than what Vegas paid, I can guarantee you the expansion draft rules won't be watered down to make it more difficult. If anything, they might even get a better deal.
Right.
You never know. But the point being is, I don't think anybody... 32 is a nice round number. It's a great market. It's a good hockey market. In the early 90s, did you play there?
I played for Spokane, but Seattle was our
No, but you
rival.
But I mean you played in
Oh yeah, against you, the Seattle
The
Thunder
Seattle Arena.
Absolutely.
It was
It's awesome.
We did junior hockey in the early 90s on TSN. Paul Romanek with the call, myself on the color. And our favorite trip was to the Seattle Arena.
Yeah.
Because it was like 16, 17,000 people. It was sold right out. And it was the loudest, most enthusiastic junior hockey audience in all of North America. And before we found out that Gary Glitter was a bad guy that did bad things, you know, the da-na-na-na-na-na-na, hey, yeah. You know, they would do that in unison, and there wasn't a better barn to play junior hockey for
it
atmosphere
was very, very,
in North America.
It was intimidating, and yeah, you're right. They used to have da-na-na-na-na, hey, yeah. And the crowd would go nuts. They had a goalie named Danny Lorenz, who was, an all-star back then. They had a 14-year-old on their team, that Glenn Goodall, and I think he played 7 years in the WHL.
No way.
The guy played years in the WHL.
Van Wilder.
He was playing as a 14-year-old, but Seattle is a great market. They used to have a small barn with chicken wire, and then it went to a bigger barn a big barn. It's a huge.
And they had a great rivalry between the Portland Winterhawks and the Seattle Thunderbirds. Yeah. I mean, Matthew Barzal's a graduate of the Seattle Thunderbirds.
Right.
Russ Farwell went from the Seattle Thunderbirds to the Philadelphia Flyers as a general manager. So there is a rich hockey history in Seattle, but that doesn't matter as much as size and demographics of the market, ownership group favorable, and good arena ready to roll.
We were talking about this earlier that, you know, there were a few years ago it felt as if maybe Toronto getting a second team, it wasn't necessarily on the verge of happening, but there was a lot of people kicking tires, and there was, you know, the council meetings up in Markham, and they were hoping to build a new rink up the 404, and Graham Roostin and others, big money supporting him, they were pushing for it. You know, they really wanted to see it happen.
Right.
And that's happened multiple times over my lifetime, where every few years you hear, man, maybe something could happen, there's nothing.
No.
I don't hear anything on second team in Toronto.
There's no appetite for it.
Like from the
on the
league?
Part of the National Hockey League, I don't believe there's any appetite for it. And I don't know why that is. Some people would say that they're, you know, protecting the Leafs. But I think the league has always been careful to say that we ultimately hold the, you know, there was all that talk about 50 kilometers or 50 mile limits and all this kind of stuff. And basically what the league has said at various times is, we can basically put a franchise pretty much anywhere we want. So the fact that there's been no talk no appetite for it suggests that they don't want it. For whatever reason, your guess is as good as mine. But
dead quiet.
Well, I'm just hoping if Seattle comes in, you said 2020. Isn't that the year there's supposed to be a lockout?
Yeah, we're going to have to go to 2021.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Welcome.
Yeah,
welcome. Welcome to the league. There's a lockout for
you. Sit here for a lockout.
Maybe that will change the appetite because the owners will be excited about some more money in their
pocket. That's a good point, you would hope.
Maybe change, you know, speed this process up.
Imagine shelling out that kind of coin and then a lockout. I'd go nuts.
Well, I mean, the fans, but we've learned the fans come back anyway.
They do, but it's just disgusting to think about it even. Like, I know, Bobby, you'll
be
off into the sunset.
Yeah, probably. I would certainly think so, but hopefully for hockey fans everywhere, they don't have to go through that again.
No, that's what we're banking on. All right, Bob.
All right,
heavy stuff, good stuff. As always, we appreciate it. Maybe we'll see you in studio Thursday.
It was a newsy night.
Very newsy. We'll see where it all goes. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It.